The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You abandon the command of God and hold to human tradition." 38 years ago, in mid-August, I was in panic mode. I still had not been called to serve a parish after graduating from Philadelphia Seminary in May. We were living off the dregs of my seminary account when a welcome phone call came in towards the end of the month. After all, we had two kids in school, a house to sell, uncertainty about Edith's teaching position, and on and on. Well, we ended up going to a call committee meeting with a lovely group of people. After a few minutes of the standard back and forth questions and sizing each other up, I asked the committee what was the parish known for? That is, how would they describe themselves? And for the first time in the meeting, they got excited. "We are known as the Oyster Stew Church. We have a wonderful 3-day oyster festival every September, because as I learned, oysters could only be harvested during months that had an R in them, so summer months were out." Well, that's what they told me. To be honest, partly out of desperation, I accepted the call with no expectation on their part that I would be shucking oysters at any time. At my first cluster meeting with local Lutheran pastors, I spoke with Pastor Miller, whose parish was closest to mine. "What is your congregation known for?" Well, he didn't get terribly excited, and he sort of mumbled and said, "What did you say?" "We're known as the Chow Chow Church. I think Chow Chow is one of those East Coast traditions happily unknown out here." As in the Oyster Stew Church, people would come far and wide to get their hands on a couple quarts of homemade Chow Chow. Fast forward a few decades. After I was supposed to retire, but I supplied all over the place. I was asked by the bishop to serve as an interim in a very small duchy congregation. What are you known for? Well, we're the apple dumpling church. Well, apples being more to my liking than oysters or chow chow, I helped out at the festival. I learned how to make dumplings, and I was put in charge of washing the continual flow of pots and pans. A few days before the festival, one of the organizers asked me if I had any boxes I could spare. Folks would often order more than a dozen dumplings, and they always ran out of boxes. Sure. So I brought some Jim Beam boxes I had at home. Now, as a baby boomer, I'm not ashamed to admit that Jim Beam and other liquor boxes are good boxes. Someone asked May, who was in charge of the gig, where'd you get all these boxes? They're from the pastor. Well, all eyes turned to me as if the 8 liquor boxes I donated were revealing a deep, dark secret. And you know how we scramble to make excuses in such situations. We're getting ready to move to Arizona in a few months, so these are from my moving supply. I think they believe me. You see, every congregation understands itself differently and has different expectations as to how folks still on the outside of the group are to behave. There are expectations as to how one is to dress, what we eat, and what we drink. Jesus was having, as usual, a hard time because of how his disciples were going against tradition. To us, it seems a bit weird that folks would be ostracized because of how they washed or didn't wash their hands. This isn't the creepy, oh God, look at those fingernails moment. It was more about pouring a few drops of precious water over each hand separately. It was a ritual routine thing. The pearl clutchers were incensed. Proper religious folk do this instead of what your disciples are doing. And with that attitude, we become the gatekeepers as to who is worthy of approaching God or not. How we define ourselves becomes the power to welcome or turn away others. Every pastor has what is often called a discretionary fund. Now, that doesn't mean the pastor can spend the funds on himself. It's money to give to those who are hungry, who need a few extra dollars to pay the rent, a gallon or two of gas, and so on. I had a fellow come in on a fairly regular basis. Roman's live-in girlfriend threw him out of the house, and he had no way to support his 2 kids. So he made the rounds of lots of parishes between 2 cities. It became a full-time job for him. I was well aware of what the dynamic was, and this lasted for a few years until he was murdered. Anyway, one Sunday he did show up for worship, and it was not to tap me out again. He told me, I'm not here to collect my money. He sat in the middle section of pews, which was normally fairly full of members. Well, he sat down, and there must have been a good 10 to 12 feet of empty places around him. He was a person of color. His clothes were not quite rags, but noticeably old, not fitting very well, and so on. Nobody in that parish would have said it was a rule to wear a jacket and tie to worship, but the expectation that one must dress a certain way sent a message to Roman. He never came back on a Sunday, but he did continue to tap me out on a regular basis till he met his end. You see, the problem is that we see the other, the stranger, as a threat. We have the best intentions to become imitators of Christ, to welcome all. That parish finally got a new sign out front, although the property committee insisted it be the traditional kind, you know, where the letters had to be manually changed out every week. And guess who got to do that job? In any case, the leadership insisted that the sign read, "All are welcome." I asked them, "Are you sure you want to say that?" We too often confuse our fears of newness with the will of God. I mentioned this incident in the weekly devotion that just came out. When does it come out, Friday or Saturday? The email. Okay. In the last parish in which I was a lay member, the state police had to be called to break up a fist fight among the members after a general meeting. The property committee started the fight. The issue was not welcoming gays or lesbians. The issue was not getting a female pastor. The issue was changing the color of the rug in the worship area. And traditionally, what's the color of a rug in a Lutheran worship area? Come on. Red. Okay, they wanted to change it to dark green. On the Sunday Roman visited with us, we had our usual weekly altar call, and he participated in the altar call. Now, a Lutheran altar call is sometimes called Holy Communion. It's not the Billy Graham style. And in that moment of coming up to the altar to receive the body and blood of Jesus, he, along with all the rest of the worshipers, came into the very presence of the Holy One of Israel. You see, God and Jesus became the other, the stranger, the outsider, when God chose to share our humanity with us. Well, you know the story. There's no room in the inn, ostracized by the religious authorities because he dared do something which was biblical, proclaim the love of God, arrested, put to death, and rose on the third day at God's command. All because God wants us to take our religion seriously. God wants us to open our hearts and to let flow out of our hearts not the evils that curse us and the recipients of our badness, but rather the spirit of welcome, the spirit of love, the spirit of understanding that comes with a true knowledge of Jesus. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the way we always do things. There is a sense of security and perhaps a bit of safety in the old tried and true. And tradition has its place. What would Christmas Eve be without Silent Night? I tried that one time, never again. But it calls for a mature perspective. What we do is far less important than whose we are, the beloved children of God. What is this congregation known for? How would you describe yourselves? After all, we are at this point in time living in a society that is shedding itself more rapidly of faith traditions. This does not mean that we are to batten down the hatches, as it were, and insist on doing things that might or might not have worked in the past. seeking our security in doing things. Rather, God in Christ Jesus calls us to every new life, giving us the grace of yet another day, another week, another year, to live lives of gratitude and thanksgiving. God does not call us to junk the old traditions handed down now century after century. After all, Jesus himself honored the traditions of his ancestors, most especially in the Passover meal. But traditions are meant to be an anchoring place to remind us all where we have come from. In the Christian church, that place is none other than the cross on which God demonstrated absolute love for God's creation. This love is what we are called to ever keep in mind, and all else in the entire creation flows from it. Even chow chow churches, oyster festival churches, apple dumpling churches, and however you understand beautiful Savior. Amen.